But so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. And I've got just such a simple little message for you this week. Not very much at all, which means that it's also extra short this week. Okay, so everybody's going to like that. I want to draw my message from the very beginning of the gospel that you just heard and from the first reading. And this is a message that goes out to anybody who's burdened with discouragement. Raise your hand if you're not discouraged by all that's going on in the church right now, right? Didn't think so. Okay. Raise your hand if you're not discouraged by the government. Raise your hand if you're not discouraged by so much that's going on in our world. You could be discouraged by things that are going on in your family. And if you have a conscience, you're constantly discouraged by your own weaknesses and your own sins. Okay, so this discouragement can beat you down. And I want to try to help. And there's a little message here at the beginning of this gospel from Luke. And this is the strangest gospel reading you'll ever hear, because what we've done is we've taken the opening lines, then skipped three complete chapters, and then gone on to the words of Jesus' first sermon. Okay? But these opening lines, he says, you know, many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events of Jesus that have been fulfilled among us. And I too want to write down these events in an orderly sequence for you so that you can realize the certainty of the teachings you've received. And you know, you hear that and it doesn't it sound like just a throwaway line? It, like, just the introduction to the gospel. It's like when you go into a movie and they got the opening credits and you think to yourself, I wonder if I have time to go get some more popcorn, right? Or you open up a book and you got all those opening pages, preface, you know, dedication. Just skip those and go to the first page. This seems like the same thing for the gospel here, but there's a lesson in this. There's a beautiful lesson, and it just goes to show you that the scriptures are so rich that even the things you think are throwaway lines and to be ignored, I've got a message in them, okay? So what I want you to focus on here this morning is this word certainty. St. Luke says, I want you to realize the certainty of the teachings you've received. What's interesting about that is the word that Luke uses in the original Greek. There's lots of words he could have used for certainty. But he uses this word, very unusual word, asphalia, and that means certainty. And you can hear in that word asphalia the root of our own word asphalt. What is the teaching you've received? They're like asphalt, right? Solid, hard, certain. But the word asphalia, if you can stick with me here, the word asphalia is just a negation of the Greek word sphalo, which means to slip and to fall. So here's Luke at the very beginning of his gospel. And he's saying to everybody who hears this gospel, what I'm about to tell you, I'm telling you so that you won't slip and fall. And he means that spiritually. Here in the winter, we know the value of asphalt on a cold, icy morning, don't we? Right? My kingdom for secure footing. And you want nothing more than to avoid slipping and falling because you're going to break a bone. Well, when you slip and fall in the spiritual life, it's your soul that you break. And we don't want that to happen, do we? So what Luke's going to tell you to help you to keep from slipping and falling, above all else, in his gospel, is going to tell you about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what Luke wants you to focus on and what I'm asking you to focus on here this morning as well. Nothing that is good, nothing that is true, nothing that is beautiful can ever be destroyed. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the message that teaches us that certainty that keeps us from slipping and falling in life. And that's why we hoist a crucifix smack up in the middle of our church. And notice it's not a cross. It's a crucifix. We got the Lord up there to remind us not just how sad this was, but to remind us that we're up there too. We're the ones that are suffering, you know, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears, making our way through. But we hoist that crucifix up to remind us that that was not the end of the story. And so often in life, doesn't it seem like evil has the upper hand? Evil, sin, and stupidity always seem to win the day, right? But we're reminded now, you want to keep from slipping and falling, remember our Lord risen from the dead and anchor your life on that. Etch that into your soul to avoid discouragement. Nothing else is going to help you. That's the great help. That's the certainty. That's the asphalt. And would you believe it or not, that's the same message that you heard in your first reading from the book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is a book so rarely heard that you could go to Mass every Sunday for 3 years and you only hear it once today. It's the only day in 3 years. So I got to tell you a little bit of history to help you to understand what you heard in the first reading. Nehemiah was a priest who is an unsung hero of the Old Testament because he brought the people of Israel back from the brink of oblivion. If you've heard me preach before, you know that I've said that the worst thing that ever happened to God's chosen people was that they lost the promised land. They were conquered by their worst enemies, the Babylonians. And they were taken away in captivity, held captive in Babylon for 50 years before they were allowed to go back home. Okay. But what you probably never heard me say is that when you spent 50 years living someplace away from home, you know, it has a way of becoming home. So the Jews were able to go back to the promised land after 50 years, but a lot of them didn't go. They stayed back in Babylon. And they stayed back in Babylon for almost 100 years later, until the last of them finally came to Jerusalem, which is where our first reading takes place. Now, it's been over 100 years since the people were together in the promised land and celebrating in the temple and together as God's people. And nobody has a living memory of what that was like. And you know what happens when you take away your memory? You lose your identity. So like if I could somehow erase your memory, like by some superpower, some wicked superpower, erase your memory, you wouldn't be yourself. Because you wouldn't be able to live your relationships, and you are your relationships. So the people, they're about to be absorbed into the culture around them. Right? In a final terrible act of defeat, not fighting gloriously against a terrible foe and overcome in spectacular martyrdom. No, they're going to fade away like a distant echo. When Nehemiah and his companion Ezra the priest gather the people together. And this is what you hear in the first reading. He said, gather around everybody, and at the break of dawn, as the sun is rising up, strikes the scroll of the book of the law, and they read to the people the story of who they are. They hear from the very beginning how God chose the people through Abraham, how he led them out of slavery in Egypt, with their backs up against a wall and Pharaoh's army rushing at them to destroy them like a miracle. God made the Red Sea part like a wall to their right and to their left, brought them through into freedom, gave them the law, gave them the commandments, gave them the promised land. They heard the stories of the great heroes, King David, the prophets, the Psalms, and like from the depths of their soul came a memory of who they really are. And the people started to cry. They were so deeply moved. And they read straight through until noon. Okay, now, keep that in mind next time you think the homily's too long. They read straight through until noon, and the people realize how far they've fallen, and they turn their hearts back to God, and this is when Nehemiah steps up, and he says the words to the people that he says to, that we want to hear as well, the message to us. Do not be sad, and do not weep, because rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. That's my message for you here this morning, brothers and sisters. That's my only message. When you feel discouraged, you know, there's so many things people will turn to lift up their spirits. Some of them are good. They'll turn to family, they'll turn to friends. That's great. Some of them, you know, they're neutral. They'll turn to diversions, amusements, entertainments, or they'll get a big bowl of ice cream. Some of them are harmful, regretfully. People will turn to sin. None of these things has the power that turning to the Lord has. I've discovered this from my own lived experience. No matter how bad things might seem, no matter how discouraged you are, if you turn to the Lord in the depths of your heart, you will find the grace not just to find peace, but even to find joy. And I mean no matter what. This is the message that the people need to hear. This is the solid ground that's going to keep you from slipping and falling. And this is why, by the way, it's so important that we have a habit of living a spiritual life, right? This is why regular mass attendance, regular confession, and regular turning to the Lord in prayer is necessary. Because if you don't have that habit, when things are at their worst, you won't turn back to God. You'll turn to something else. And nothing in the world besides this has this power. It's my favorite line in the whole scriptures. Psalm 46, verse 10. The message I keep reminding myself again and again and again. It says, be still and know that I am God. And if you hear the original Hebrew, it goes even a step further. It says, empty yourself and know that I am God. Brothers and sisters, never give in to the power of discouragement, ever. Remember the message of Luke. Remember the message of the resurrection of our Lord. Remember the people of Israel in the days of Nehemiah. Remember that nothing good or beautiful or true can ever be destroyed, because the grace of God awaits for you and only asks your cooperation to be empowered by it. And that's why I'm so fond of saying that if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.